So modern Orthodoxy has a number of problems. I think the year in Israel has had a tremendous impact on modern Orthodoxy in the last 20, 30 years, has it had a tremendous impact. So one of the problems that comes out of that a lot of times is that kids sometimes become more observant than their parents. And the problem that sometimes becomes is that kids, I think sometimes if they grew up with a certain thing going on in the house, so they assume sometimes that that's okay, because I grew up with it, so it has to be okay. Now, I want to be very clear. I don't think at all it is the job of the child to point out to his parents when they're doing something wrong. Absolutely not. That is not the job of the parent. The most classic example of where this happens is you find a lot of people who learned in Israel that, let's say, the mommy did not cover her hair, but the daughter does. You find that a lot of times. So the daughter-in-law, you have that happen a lot of times. Now, I don't think the kids should be telling their parents what they should do, chas v'shalom. But it just happens to be that when many of our parents grew up, that was at a time period that many, many, many women did not do it. They didn't do it. For whatever reason, they didn't do it. When they came over from Europe, it wasn't accepted. Whatever it was, even many, many Rashi Yeshiva's wives, many, many big Rashi Yeshiva's wives didn't cover their hair in the 40s and 50s. A lot of people in the United States, it didn't. It was just much less popular. People didn't do it. And now, as people are becoming, learning the dinim more, going through the sugya more, they learn through the sugya and say, you know what? I don't understand why the previous generation didn't, but that's really the din. So one of the areas that someone asked me to speak about, I mentioned the other day, how to raise a child without a TV if their friends will have one. That was the question. So I figured that you have to first take a step back. I looked for this quote on the internet and I didn't find it. But when I was in YU, so I think people, the quote was either from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb or from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, I forgot, people said that, and either, I don't even remember the exact quote, modern Orthodoxy has nothing to do, I think the quote was actually, Torah Umada has nothing to do with television. That was the quote, that like people think like modern Orthodoxy, Torah Umada, so we watch TV because we're modern Orthodox, because Torah Umada says you could watch TV. No. That has nothing to do with it. Torah Umada may have something to do with, you know, the Torah's view towards secular knowledge, may have something to do with, you know, how secular knowledge can help you in the world. It might have to do with, you know, science and understanding. But television, that's not part of Torah Umada. It's not part of anybody's definition of modern Orthodoxy or Torah Umada. So I have to admit that most of my views on television were from the pre-internet era. But from my understanding, so you know, I haven't really been following so much, and I think a lot of people aren't following as much what's going on television these days, because you have the internet. Who needs TV? I mean, you can get everything on TV. On the internet, but my understanding is that, you know, things have only gotten worse on television since the 20 years ago that I was there, not better. I want to state very clearly that I am very, very against television, very against it. I was raised in a home that had a TV, but it was very, very strictly monitored for me. I was only allowed to watch sports and Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers, the electric company, and when I was good, maybe Zoom also. And if I was very good, they might let me watch an episode or two of the Flintstones. But that was it. I grew up in a very, very strict house. No other shows. I used to have to sneak over to my buddy's house, whose father had to be the rabbi of the shul. It's a different story. But I had to sneak over to my buddy's house, who was my closest friend, to watch like The Love Boat or Eight Is Enough or all these other shows. I am actually... That's one of the things that my parents said, someday you're going to thank me, and I'm actually very, very thankful to my parents for being very strict about that. Although my parents ruled my house, you know, with an iron fist, you know, that could be for another shmooze about how parenting needs to change with the times. You know, we don't run, my wife and I don't run our home in a similar way to the way the parents ran my home. I think that's a lot because times have changed. That's maybe for a different time when you all you know, have children. We could talk about that. It's not so relevant right now as much. But there are three primary reasons why I'm pretty against a Ben Torah owning a television. I'm against it. The first is that just the whole act of watching television is addictive. It's so passive and it's addictive. Very often you get hooked on a show and you can't stop watching that show and you end up spending so much time. Oh, it's really the second reason already, but the first thing is it's addictive. And Hollywood advertisers know exactly what they're doing. They invest millions of dollars to know what exactly you're going to watch and what you're going to be attracted to, and you're stuck there and you're passive. The overwhelming majority of what you see on television is so unproductive. You become a couch potato. You're not active. You're certainly not challenging your mind. You're certainly not challenging your body. You're being entertained. You're sitting back there and being entertained. So one is it's addictive and unproductive. The second thing, it can be extremely, extremely time-consuming and a huge waste of time. I remember used to be on Sundays, we would sit and watch, you know, 6 hours of football. You know, you have to watch the first game, then you go maybe daven mincha in the middle, come back, watch the second game. But at least by us, it was limited to about, you know, it was 6 hours, 7 hours. Now, Baruch Hashem, you have Sunday night football, so you can go 10 hours. It's not just Sunday night, then you have Thursday night football, so you can do, and Monday night football, so you have the whole week football, Baruch Hashem. There's people who spend 15 hours, 10 hours, 20 hours a week. It's incredible. I think I once said by me, ESPN, when I was growing up, so ESPN, there was nobody, it was like bowling and golf and horse racing, and nobody had any interest in it. I guess some people somewhere did, but you know, now it's become, it's just so much time passes while you're sitting in front of the television. Such a huge waste of time, while precious mitzvah moments are passing by, moments that could be used to study Torah, moments that could be used to devise ways to help people, to be involved in chesed programs, moments to spend quality time with family, and having the whole family sit in front of the TV, I don't think is quality time with family. Moments to do exercise, to be healthy, to be active, to engage in some form of activity that could help you, that could be productive. I just think that A, it's as entertainment, it's passive. B, I said it's addictive. It ends up multiplying your time because it's so addictive with the show, and you got to find out what happened next time, and there's religions about the show and chat rooms about the show, and people are hawking and talking the whole time about the show. About what? About what? About. So at best, I think television is a huge addictive waste of time. But at worst, of course, it's much worse than that. And that is that that television puts in your mind all kinds of ideas and images, which are sometimes even worse than ideas, because images are just carved in your mind forever, as we spoke about in the past, all kinds of images that are very foreign to a Torah way of life. So in the Yeshiva Shevelt, they like to say television is usur. It's usur. Television is usur. So I don't agree with that. That's not true. Television is not usur. There's plenty of stuff that you can watch. There's no violation of any usur. You're watching a football game. What's television? That's not usur. I don't know what that means. There's plenty on TV that's not usur. It is true that approximately every 3 minutes on the television, a vision that shows up is forbidden for a Jew to watch. Certainly every Diet Coke commercial, every Diet Pepsi commercial, anytime you have a woman in a bikini or a woman in a bathing suit or a woman who's inappropriately dressed, so that comes up on the TV, like, you know, roughly every 5 minutes. So I guess technically if you turned away, you turned the head away every 5 minutes when you saw something coming. So it wouldn't be technically us, sir. But it is true that there's so many visions on television which are forbidden for a Jew to watch, and certainly most of the themes of the shows nowadays also sneak in so many ideas and ideals that are so contrary to what the Torah believes in. I mean, first of all, just so much stuff which is kids, and even when I was growing up, so you had so much stuff that was kids anti-parents, like kids talk so disrespectfully to their parents. So the kids who watch that on TV, it has an effect. Then you learn to do that. Forget about the fact that Hollywood is so, you know, pro so many cultures and ways that are anti-Torah, and people become, you know, you get hooked up in the ideas that Hollywood wants to promote. Just that's what watching the show is about. You end up buying in. You often end up being swayed by the ideas. You know, in the newspapers, it's all part of culture. You know, there are subtle anti-Torah messages that are snuck in all the time. And this is the culture of the world. You know, you're at the mercy of the guy who wrote the show, who wrote the plot. Certainly, you know, our attitudes towards homosexuality, towards other things, Hollywood, we know what Hollywood's perspectives on these things are. Our attitudes towards these things are molded by the storylines that we see in TV, by what we read in the news. It has a very, very big impact. So I'm really not in favor of it. Most of you probably know that I don't have a television in my house. And again, the internet has provided a whole nother set of challenges. So let me spend 5 minutes addressing the question that was asked. And that is, what do you do if you're... So the first answer is that, who says you have to live in a place where everybody else has televisions? I lived the first 3 years of my life in Passaic, New Jersey. Beautiful, beautiful community. Many, many, many normal, regular, good people in Passaic don't have televisions. By the way, I grew up in Teaneck, New Jersey, and I actually had like the worst babysitting job in the entire Teaneck when I was growing up, because there was actually a couple of families, normal, modern Orthodox families, the one place I used to babysit all the time. Dad is a doctor, mom is a lawyer. Regular, straight, normal, modern Orthodox people. Didn't have a television. The worst babysitting job. Why? Because they knew if they'd have it, they'd watch it all the time, and dad was very busy doing really serious things, and mom was really busy, and they wanted the kids to be busy doing productive things. There's no halach. It's not written in the bylaws of modern Orthodoxy that you have to have a television. It's written nowhere in the bylaws of Torah, modern journal, anywhere. It doesn't say it anywhere. It doesn't say that. So, you don't have to live in a place that everybody has them. And probably, if you're not wanting to have it, you should probably send your kids to a school where a lot of the kids won't. Again, that's not always practical. I'm a big talker, and that's what I did. That's what I did. So for me, it ended up happening. So it could be for other people, it might end up happening. Might end up happening also. Let's be realistic. Might end up happening for whatever reason, because there's a lot of reasons why you select. Maybe that should be another schmooze. How to select a community. That's a very important thing. How to select a community, where to live. That's a very, very important shmooze. Very important. Somebody remind me. I can't write it down now. But that's really important, by the way. So just someone should remind me. So my wife and I made the decision with our kid that we have to provide, you know, other strong kosher outlets. And we might spend a little more money on some other things to make sure that our kid is enjoying himself and make sure he has kosher outlets. You know, that's what we have in the house. We have a PS3. I don't even know what these things are, but I'm just giving you the names and the thing. I just have no idea what they are. By the way, we have a Wii in the house and a PS3 and things like that, which we felt, you know, if the kid has to spend some time, I'd rather him doing that than watching television, where at least I can control with the games. Yeah, there's some stuff on the games too a little bit, but it's the cartoons. I don't even know what it is. And there's music. I try to tell him, forget the music, whatever. But certainly to make time to play ball with your kids is huge, and that your kids shouldn't feel totally left out. I don't believe that my kids at all suffered socially because they didn't have a TV in the house. I mean, I don't believe that. I mean, I think Baruch Hashem, they found ways to make up with it. They knew what was going on in the world somehow, even not having, like I said, maybe part of that is the internet and cell phones, and it's a whole nother shtickle tire. What are you supposed to do with your kids' cell phones? There's a lot to do. But I think that it is true that you are putting your kid in a tough spot. Maybe because my kids grew up in a rabbi's house, so maybe that's they realized, oh, well, I have to deal with the fact that my father's a rabbi. So tough luck on me. So, and people understood. They didn't think I wasn't cool. I'm talking about with the kids. they didn't think the kid wasn't cool because he doesn't have a TV, because Nebuchadnezzar has to grow up in the house of a rabbi, so people sort of accepted it. So they accepted my kids as friends, even though on the one hand I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe you don't have a TV, because, oh well, he's the rabbi's kid, what can he do? But you do have to provide, you do have to provide alternate forms of enjoyment. But I think that the real answer here is that we should be beginning, quote unquote, modern Orthodox communities where television doesn't have to be accepted. Doesn't have to be accepted. I don't see why you need it. I think there's a beautiful world out there and plenty of opportunities for a person to have good, clean fun. Okay, sports, like I said, sports is I think a good thing for most of our communities. Mostly playing it, but even following it. That's my kids. That's the time when I feel a little bit bad for them when they want to watch a game or something. And I, so my kids actually go to the neighbor's house, every Sunday to watch the Jet games. My kids go all the time, and we allow them to do that. That's one of the compromises that we make. And yeah, they're going to see the commercials in here, but that's a compromise that we made. But usually, what happens, if it's other things, so my kids will be like on the internet. Can we watch this game on the internet? Then they have to spend all the 20 minutes like with channel surfing or something, clicking on the thing, and it goes off after 5 minutes because it's illegal or something. I don't even know, but they do all these things. But even to make it more difficult is also making a point to them, I think. But I think the real answer is that we need to work together to create quote-unquote modern Orthodox communities. When I say modern Orthodox, I mean communities that are pro-Medina Israel, that are tolerant to people who are not from, that don't put so much emphasis on externals necessarily. And in all the ways that we discussed last year about the difference between the modern Orthodox world and the Yeshivish world, the good, the positive, differences, I think we need to create communities that have the positives of modern Orthodoxy, but don't have the unwritten negative laws of modern Orthodoxy, which don't belong. And why should it be that a kid has pressure to go mixed swimming? That's forbidden. That there should be bar and bas mitzvahs that have mixed dancing. That's forbidden. That we have to be able to talk out clearly that's not allowed, and that's not part of modern Orthodoxy. It has been part of much of modern Orthodoxy, but it doesn't have to be part of it. And I think that with the year in Israel, with other things that have been going on, and with, kids getting more into learning and more seeing the beauty in the Torah way of life and the Yiddishkeit way of life, I think that we're on our way, as Hashem, to being able to create such communities. But we have to remember, Torah Amada has nothing to do with television. And we have to be careful to realize that even if we have a more open approach to the world than maybe in some yeshivish places, we have to make sure that open approach to the world doesn't include yisurim, doesn't include things that are just not a good idea, huge wastes of time, and huge distractions from being an Eved Hashem in the way that we are supposed to be.